Well, we're going to open the Word this morning, so you might want to open your Bibles. Good thing to do as we preach the Word of God this morning. As you know, our theme for this year is Amazing Grace, and we want to talk about grace this morning. Grace is something that you can never stop talking about once we begin to understand grace, the depth of God's grace, the meaning of God's grace. It's just amazing, literally amazing grace. They sing Amazing Grace for the very reason that grace is indeed amazing. We have a scripture, John 1:16, which is like the theme scripture that we have for this year. And I'll just read that, John 1:16. It says, "From the fullness of his grace," we have all received one blessing after another. From the fullness of God's grace. And so God's grace to us, it's full grace. It's not anything lacking in the grace of God. God has given us everything that we need. It tells us in 1 Peter that God has given us everything that we need for life and godliness. And so we live in the fullness of God's grace. Not part of his grace, not, "Oh Lord, I need a lot more grace." No, Lord, it's we live in the fullness of his grace. And out of the fullness of his grace, we've received one blessing after another. Amen? Amen. Amen. You don't sound very blessed. Amen. 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 Praise God. Well, I want to talk about the sufficiency of his grace, so that his grace is enough. Because people are quite often saying, "Lord, I need this, I need that." And really, we've got to understand that the grace of God is sufficient for us. His grace is all sufficient for us in every situation and every circumstance. And it's from the fullness of his grace that we are blessing one after another. So let's look at 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Let's read that together. It talks about the sufficiency of God's grace. So 2 Corinthians chapter 12, and reading from verse 7 to 10. Now this is the Apostle Paul speaking, and Apostle Paul has had this incredible experience happen to him, where he sees himself, where he says, "Look, I don't know whether it was in vision or whether I was there. I don't know how it happened, but he's been taken up into heaven and saw things that were inexpressible, incredible wonders." Just imagine that yourself. But one day, you're taken up into heaven, and you're not dead, you're alive, but you've been taken up into heaven, and you see incredible wonders and things. Now, this is exactly what happened to Paul. He starts off saying, he talks about, "I know a man in Christ about 14 years ago." So he starts off fairly humbly saying, not saying, "Oh, look what happened to me, guys. I went up into heaven." And he says, "Oh, I know a man," is the way that he starts talking verse 1 and 2. Verse 2, he says, "A man that was caught up 14 years ago, caught up into the third heaven," whether it was in the body or out of the body, I don't know. God knows. "And I know that this man," and then it goes on quite clearly that he begins to speak, that is actually him. Because he says in verse 7, "To keep me from becoming conceited because of these surpassingly great revelations." So he's the man. He's the man that's been taken up into heaven and seen incredible things that the Lord said, "Look, I don't want you to talk about this," but just amazing, awesome things. And so Paul, he could write many, many books about it. He could go on the "I Went to Heaven" tour and go around and telling everyone and making the DVD series. But the Lord actually wanted to keep him humble in all of that because of this great revelation. So let's read down from verse 7. It says, "To keep me from becoming conceited because of these surpassingly great revelations, there was given me a thorn in my flesh, a messenger of Satan to torment me. Three times I pleaded with the Lord to take it away from me, but he said to me, 'My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. And therefore I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses, so that Christ's power may rest on me. And that is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weaknesses, in insults, in hardships, in persecutions, in difficulties. For when I am weak, then I am strong." We've been singing those words this morning. When I am weak, then I am strong. We want to talk about these things this morning. We want to talk about the sufficiency of God's grace. Because he says, "I delight in weaknesses. I delight in insults, in hardships." Delight in it. You think, "I'm going through a hard time." Fantastic. That's what Paul is saying. He delights in it. Woohoo! "I delight in it. Persecutions and difficulties. Because when I'm weak, then I'm strong." And so let's talk a little about these things this morning, about the sufficiency of his grace. But the Lord's words to Paul in verse 9, he says, "My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. His grace is sufficient. We're going to look at the meaning of the word sufficient, because there's actually two meanings of this word sufficient. We're going to look at both of them. But on the face of it, the surface meaning of the word sufficient is, it is sufficient. It means that His grace is enough. It's enough. And quite often we want more. Lord, I need more. More, Lord, give me more, more, more. And His answer is, my grace is enough. It's enough, because it's from the fullness of His grace. It's enough. It's enough. It's enough. No more is required from His grace. You got everything you need. You have the grace of God upon your life. And Paul says, yeah, but take it away. Take it away. And Lord says, no, no, my grace is enough. It's sufficient. It's all that you need. There is nothing else required, nothing else that is lacking, nothing else that is needed in the situation other than the grace that I have given you, the grace that is flowing over you. It is enough. No more required in that. And there's nothing that we can strive for, because sometimes I think, well, God, you know, it must be something more I need to do. And when we're going through a tough time, first thing that people normally do is blame themselves and say, gee whiz, well, what have I done? Or I deserve this. And it's amazing, if somebody thinks someone's upset, most people assume that they're the cause of it. If I was upset about something, some people would think, oh, he's upset and it's probably because of me. A lot of people think that, oh, that person's upset. Gee, what have I done to upset them? They think that they've done something to cause the offense automatically. Some people are like that. They think it's something that they've done. And it's nothing like that at all, where people are so focused on themselves. And the answer of all of this is that we've got to be focused on our Lord Jesus Christ. There's nothing that we have to earn. We always want to do something more. We think there must be something I've done to cause this, or there must be something that I've got to do to get out of this. And so we always put it back onto me. I either did it, or I've got to do something to get out of it. And the Lord is saying, no, no, my grace is sufficient for you. My grace is enough for you. My grace is all that you need in the circumstance, in the situation. And there's nothing for you to strive for, and there's nothing even for you to do in it other than to allow my grace to work and to flow in your life. And so my grace is enough. It's grace. It's not your effort trying to get rid of it or try to do it, because that's law, that's works. That means it's depending on us. Now, we know in the promises of God that the promises of God are always, this is the promise, and yes, you must do this to walk in that. And so that's the way God works. There's a promise, and if we walk in obedience to that, then the blessing of that flows. But this we're talking about in a weakness, in a hardship, in a difficulty, a persecution, in a struggle, and we're saying, I've got to do something, I've got to do something. God's saying, hang on a minute, just chill out, just relax. My grace is sufficient for you. You look at me and stop struggling in the situation. Get your eyes on me and not the thing that is happening around you. My grace is enough. Three times Paul says, Lord, take it away, take it away, take it away. And Lord says, no, my grace is sufficient for you. Now, it talks about this thorn in the flesh. I just want to talk briefly about what is this thorn in the flesh. And I've heard many, many interesting people say interesting things about, well, what is this thorn in the flesh? Or even heard one person say one time, oh, the thorn in the flesh, that was actually Paul's wife. Now, Scripture makes it clear he wasn't married, but said, oh, I had this really obnoxious, annoying wife, and she was the thorn in the flesh. And later on, you know, he was not married, and which is nonsense. It certainly wasn't his wife. And some people say, oh, maybe it's a person. Some, you know, person that's, well, Paul's back giving him a real hard time and annoying him, and that was the thorn in the flesh and somebody giving him a hard time. Others have said it was some sort of an illness in Paul's body, that he had some sort of a sickness in his body, and that was the thorn in the flesh, that he had some sort of disease or disability or something, illness that he constantly had all of the time, and that was the thorn in the flesh. But the Scripture makes it really clear. It's none of those things. It actually tells us what the thorn in the flesh is. It actually says, they've given me a thorn in my flesh, and it says what it is. It's a messenger of Satan. And the word there, messenger, is the word angel. So it's this demonic thing that kept on having a go and hammering Paul. It's quite clearly not a physical ailment, but the word there is the same word as an angel. It's a demonic thing that kept on having a go and trying to attack Paul. And it makes it very clear. If you have a look in verse 11 about some of the things that happened to Paul in chapter 11, and you read down from verse 24, it says, five times I received from the Jews 40 lashes, three times beaten with rods, I was stoned, three times shipwrecked, spent a night, day in open sea, constantly on the move, danger from rivers, and in danger from bandits, from my own countrymen, from the Gentiles, danger in the city, danger in the country, danger at sea, danger from false brothers. I've labored and taught, often gone without sleep, I've known hunger and thirst, gone without food, I've been cold and naked, and da-da-da, all these things that were always hitting Paul. And it says, so this angel, this messenger, this demonic thing that just kept having a go at Paul. And if you could try to silence him, as you read your Bible, most of the New Testament, a significant amount of the New Testament, has been written by the Apostle Paul. And so the enemy trying to cut him off and trying to get him down. But God says to him, he says, well, no, my grace is sufficient for you, Paul. And the Lord is really saying to him, he's saying, Paul, don't you be worried about the devil. So many people are worried about, oh, the devil this, the devil that. And God says to Paul, he says, look, don't you worry about the devil. Don't you worry about the devil. You keep your eyes upon me, Paul. My grace is sufficient for you. The devil's having a go at me, God. And Jesus says to him, look, it's okay, Paul. My grace is sufficient for you. That's all you need. That's all you need to worry about. You need to worry about me. You need to worry about my grace. Don't worry about what the devil's doing. If he's trying to have a go and all of the things that he's trying to cause and come against you. And he's saying, no, you just keep your eyes on me, Paul. Just don't stress it. You just keep your eyes on me. Keep your eye focused on me. Don't worry about the devil. You worry about me. You keep your eyes upon me. You keep your focus upon me. And so that's what it says. There's a scripture in Isaiah 59, verse 19. And this is from the King James Version. It says, when the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord will lift up a standard against him. Sorry, the NIV it is. When the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord will lift up a standard against him. And so when the enemy comes and has a go at us, and don't think the enemy doesn't try to have a go at us. The Bible says the devil goes around like a roaring lion, waiting to see who he can devour. He's just looking. Who's opening the door? You know, the scripture talks about sin crouching at the door already. So if you open the door to sin, well, bang, sin is going to get there. And the devil is going around like this roaring lion, looking who he can devour. But the Lord is saying that even if the devil is having a go at you, trying to bring you down, don't keep your eyes upon him, keep your focus on me. But it says, even when the devil comes in like a flood, Isaiah 59:19 says, when the enemy comes in like a flood, and sometimes the enemy will have a go at us. It's silly to think that the enemy won't have a go. You are a threat. God and the devil are not at war with each other. That war is already over. The devil's already been defeated. He's been thrown down, cast down. He's at war with us. He can't beat God. He hasn't got a chance. But we're his enemy. He's the one fighting against us. And he still hasn't got a chance because we stand in the victory of Jesus Christ. But we're the ones that he is fighting. And it says, when the enemy comes in like a flood, and sometimes things happen to us. You read Paul's little list of things. Oh, what did you do today? Oh, five times I received 40 lashes. Three times I was beaten. He had a pretty hard time at times. He had a lot of persecution, a lot of struggle. And sometimes it's if everything seems to hit us and impact us from every side. Sometimes it's our own stupidity. But sometimes it's not. We're just innocent party, and it's like everything seems to hit us and buffet us and get us from every side, hit us from every side. But the Bible says, Isaiah 59:19, when the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord will lift up a standard against him. And that's what God is actually saying to Paul as we look in 2 Corinthians 12:9, because he says, but he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is perfect in weakness. Now, as I said, that word sufficient has two meanings to it, and both senses are correct in this passage. The sense of sufficient is, my grace is enough for you. But the word the archaio actually means to lift a banner, to raise a standard. And so that Jesus is saying to Paul, he's saying, Paul, when you are in the midst of stuff, and he says, I'm pleading, Lord, take it away, take it away. God's promise to him, he says, in the middle of all of the mess, in the middle of every circumstance, whatever the struggle is, he says, my grace is sufficient for you. He's saying, I'm actually raising a banner in the middle of that. I'm raising a banner. And when you're going through a hard time, a difficulty, the devil's there trying to cut in on you, try to hurt you, try to get you. He is raising a banner. He says, my grace is sufficient for you. My power is made perfect in weakness. And so when you're going through a tough time, When the enemy comes in like a flood, then the Lord raises a banner. And when an army was assembled and going out into battle, then the banner, it was the focal point. It was the point of rallying point. It was the point where all of everything is focused upon that. When they saw the banner go, they knew when this banner is raised up, then that is the time for us to go forward. Many of the armies used to use banners to communicate. You've got a massive army, they're not there just with radios or whatever. And that a whole army could be directed by banners, by just the way that they lifted the banners, positioning of the banners. They could tell an army to attack, to advance. Everything could be orchestrated by banners. And the Roman army were particularly strong with their banners and their communication system that they had with banners. And so God is saying, when the devil comes in and has a crack at you, then I'm raising a banner there. When you're going through a hard time, I've actually raised up a banner. And sometimes we're in the middle of a hard time and a struggle. We're looking at the hard time. We're looking at the struggle. We're looking at the thing. And some people are even, oh, the devil's attacking me. So they're there and they're binding and they're trying to do all this stuff against the devil. And the Bible says, resist the devil, he'll flee from you. But Lord's word to Paul was, it says, my grace is sufficient for you. I want you to not be so focused about and everything else. I want you to focus upon me, because in the middle of your hardship, in the middle of your difficulty, in the middle of the struggle that you're going through, the Lord is actually raising a banner, and he wants us to be focused upon him. That's his promise. He will raise the banner for us when we're going through a tough time. And so when we're going through a struggle, his grace is enough for us because he's raising the banner for us. And Song of Solomon chapter 2 verse 4, it tells us what the banner is. Well, when God raises a banner over us, when we're going through a tough time, even if the devil is having a crack at us and trying to bring us down and undermine us, God raises a banner. In Song of Solomon chapter 2 and verse 4, it says, he has taken me to the banquet hall and his banner over me is love. And so when you're going through the most difficult times, that just thrills my heart, because sometimes when you're going through a really hard time, a difficult time, sometimes people think, oh, well, God, where are you in this? You know, God, have you abandoned me? And even the psalmist at some point says, God, where are you? Well, but at the end of the psalm, he goes, no, God, you are there. You are my substance. You are my life. You are my rock. And sometimes we say, God, well where are you in the midst of this struggle and the circumstances? Where can I find you in the middle of this? And it's God's promise to us that when we're going through something, that God's grace is there for us. You go through a difficult time, and even if the devil's trying to hit you down and knock you down and cut you down, that God will raise a banner in the middle of that situation. And God raises his love over us in our struggle. And that's why Paul can say, in the middle of the mess, in the middle of struggle, middle of hardships, then I can actually rejoice in that, because whenever I go through something, God is actually raising the banner of his love upon my life. And then his love is there for me. It'll sustain me. His love will keep me. He's not going to allow me to fall. He will help me through every struggle that I go through. And that's just a wonderful promise that God gives us, that we're going through a hardship. His grace is enough for us. His grace is sufficient for us. But when you're going through a hard time, look for the banner. Look for the love of God. He's pouring his love upon us in the middle of that. He raises that. Sometimes we think, God, you've left me, you've deserted me, or, oh, the devil's overwhelming me. And he's saying, look, just look at me, look at my love, because in the middle of every mess, I raise my banner of love over you. And that's God's promise to us. And as I said, Paul says, that's why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weaknesses and insults and hardships, persecutions and difficulty, for when I'm weak, then I am strong. And that's just a wonderful promise of God. His grace is sufficient. He raises the banner of his love when you go through a difficult time. And when you're struggling, don't be looking at the circumstances. Don't be looking at the thing that's happening, saying, Lord, I'm looking to you and I'm looking for the banner. I'm looking for your love, Lord, for your love and your grace just to flow upon me and to get me through the situation. And it is enough. It is enough. Sometimes we're praying, Lord, just change it, Lord. Three times Paul says, Lord, just get rid of this thing. Take it away, Lord. This, keep getting it buffered. I keep getting attacks. Three times I pleaded with God. He says, I pleaded with God. And sometimes we're going through a hard time. We're saying, Lord, change it. Lord, do this, fix that, change this, do this. And that's our prayer. And we're pleading with God, God, please hear me. And God's answer to us is, my grace is sufficient for you. And I want you to look to me, and I want you to see I've raised my banner of my love over you in that situation. And that is enough to get you through. Sometimes the situation will change. Quite often God changes us, and quite often in any circumstance we're in, God wants us to see the love, see his love, see his banner over us, the total love that he has for us. And it's interesting that in this is where we see the power of God made evidenced. It says, for my power, this is in verse 9, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. And sometimes we think weakness is such a weak place. Well, it probably is, being weak. We think it's a bad place to be. Sometimes we think, oh, gee whiz, I'm struggling at the moment. I'm really going through a hard time. And we can put ourselves down because we're struggling and because we're going through a hard time and things seem to be coming against us. And sometimes we think, oh, Lord, I don't have enough faith. We can be down on ourselves. But it's actually in the place where you think, Lord, I can't do anymore. In fact, the best place to be is to be the place where he says, Lord, I just give up. Lord, I cannot do this. I give up. And that is probably the best place to come to in the situation and say, God, I just can't do this. Doesn't matter how hard I try. It doesn't matter what I do. I just can't do this thing. And so, Lord, I give up. And I think when those words come through, there's like a cheer in heaven. Now, God wants us to persevere, but he's giving up. It's not saying I'm throwing in the towel. It's saying, Lord, I'm not going to try to do this in my own strength anymore. I have tried everything I can do. I've done everything I can possibly do. And Lord, I just cannot do it. And when we come to that place to understand, Lord, what I'm doing myself is not enough. That's the place where God wants us to be. It's out of a place of total surrender. To say, God, I give up. I've tried myself. I've tried to do it in my own strength. Relying on what I know, what I thought, what I feel, what I can do, what I have. And Lord, it just isn't enough. And Lord, I'm just going to rely upon you. And when we come to that point, it's like God says, great. Now something can happen. Now that you've totally surrendered to me, you've stopped all your running around like a headless chicken, trying to solve it and do it all yourself, that the grace of God begins to flow. And we come to that place of surrender saying, my effort is not enough. And it's a humble place to be. To actually just come to God and say, God, I really need you in this situation. Because quite often when we pray, it's saying, Lord, three times we're pleading as Paul did, take it away. And that's our prayer life. It's saying, Lord, this is the situation. Lord, fix it, fix it, fix it, fix it. And quite often God just wants us to say, Lord, I just need you, Lord. I need you in this situation, Lord. I surrender to you in this, Lord. I want your help, Lord. I need your help. Lord, I'm focused upon you, Lord. I'm just going to sit in your love and rest in your love. Lord, I've done all that I can, Lord, but I surrender it all to you now. And Lord, I'm going to trust upon you, Lord. I'm going to look to you in this situation. And then when we come to that place, which for some seems like a great place of weakness, it's actually an incredible place of strength, because no longer are we standing in our own efforts, but we now come to the place where we're standing in the strength and in the grace and in the power of God. And then we're able to stand. We come to the place of saying, Jesus, you're all that I need. You're all that I need. We're always changing. We want everything to change. We're always praying, Lord, change this, fix this. Now, God wants to hear our heart. He wants us to pray. We spend all night praying because God wants us to pray. He says, bring your prayers and requests. But a place to always be is saying, God, I need you, Lord, and to live in that place of surrender and grace. Otherwise, you get frustrated in your life and wonder, why isn't anything happening? It's because we haven't come to the place where we've looked to the banner of the love of God in our circumstance. Always pleading, always wanting everything else to change, but never coming to the place of humility, never coming to the place of surrender. But from that place is where the power of God is discovered. And it amazes me because people want to find the power of God. Many people want to move in the power of God and to be flowing in the power of God. Well, the place that we find the power of God, it's not by some great revelation. It's actually in trial. It's in severe trial is where we find the power of God. And the power of God is for us in every situation that you're in. If you're going through a difficulty at the moment, you need to know that the power of God is there for you. And the way that we access the power of God in the situation is to understand that His grace is all that we need. He's everything that we need. He is all that we need. His grace is sufficient for us. And we're trying to change everything and praying about this and that, and God's saying, well, hang on a minute, before you worry about them or the circumstances or whatever, how about you just looking at me, focusing on me, and allowing me to work in you and in your life? Because one of the promises of God is that whatever situation we go through, we are never going to go through a situation that is going to crush or destroy us. We never will. You will never go through anything that will totally crush or destroy us. And Paul, he went through many, many things. He went through a whole lot of stuff. He had his best friends deserting him. He went through all of this sort of stuff. And many, many things happened to him. But he was able to stand through that. Is that because he was a super apostle? Well, he was an apostle. He was a mighty man of God. But he learned something about grace. And he learned something about humility and about surrendering himself to God. And that is for all of us, that if we're able to say, Lord, in the midst of whatever mess I'm in, Lord, I'm going to rely on your grace. Lord, I'm going to see you lifted up, and I'm going to focus upon you, Lord, and I give up on my trying to do everything myself, or my own self-reliance, or my own pride, whatever it is, and humble ourselves and say, Lord, I'm relying on your love. I'm relying on your grace in this situation, and that is enough for me. And there's incredible power that is released in that. And I'm convinced that whatever situation that we go through, God's grace is enough to get us through. There's nothing that we will ever go through that will be the thing that, oh, this is the thing that is going to destroy me. It's not, because God's grace is sufficient for you. Well, however difficult or however hard things ever get in our lives, the grace of God gives us the capacity to endure. And so if you understand that, when you're going through something, think, hang on, this thing is not going to destroy me because of the grace of God in my life. I'm just going to draw on grace. And it doesn't matter how hard, how difficult, if the devil tries to ever go, it doesn't matter whatever happens, the grace of God is there for me. And I will come through this thing. I will get through it, not because of me, but because of the grace of God in my life. Because when I am weak, that's when I am strong. And it's in those places of weakness, of surrender and, Lord, I can't do it. And Lord, Well, that's when we allow the power of God to flow in our lives. And He gives us a strength to stand so that we will not be overwhelmed. His grace is sufficient for us. And sometimes in life, you know, you go through things and you might say, oh, gee, you went through that. Gee, somebody knows someone else who went through that and they were totally destroyed by that thing that happened to them. And it was just totally devastated. It was the end of the road for them. Well, that may be the case for them, but we have the grace of God upon our lives. There's a scripture in Psalm 91 verse 7. It says, 1,000 may fall at your side, 10,000 at your right hand, but it will not come near you. And I just believe that is for us. God gives us by His grace the ability to handle things that maybe other people couldn't handle, to go through things that maybe other people couldn't go through. Is it because of you? No, it's not because of you. It's not because of me. It's because of His grace. His enabling grace is there for us to get us through. His grace is sufficient. So my encouragement to us today, whatever circumstance that you're going through, it's not going to overwhelm you. It will not destroy you because of the grace of God that is upon your life. And as Paul said three times, Lord, change this, fix it, do this, do that. And he said, hang on a minute. My grace is sufficient for you. And for every one of us here today, the Lord would say to us that my grace is sufficient for you. It's all that you need in the situation. Someone's trying to change this, fix that, do this, and the Lord's saying, hang on a sec. Just keep your eyes upon me. I'm actually raising a banner over your life right now, right in the circumstance, right in the situation that you're in now. Right now, I've raised a banner there. And that banner over you is my love that is there for you. And that'll keep you through this. And my grace will sustain you for whatever struggle, whatever trial, whatever difficulty that you go through. I'm going to sustain you through it, and you will come through it, and you'll actually rule in that. And then Paul says these incredible things at the end of that, in the end of verse 9. He says, therefore I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses, so Christ's power may rest on me. And that is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weaknesses, in insults, in hardships, in persecutions, and difficulties. For when I am weak, then I am strong. Because that's when the grace of God is released upon our life. That's when the power of God is made manifest in our situation. So I want us to stand this morning, and I just want us to know the love of God. And you're going through a difficult time at the moment. I want to encourage you that it will not overwhelm you, it will not destroy you, because God's grace is there for you. His grace is sufficient for you. Right in your circumstances, your situation, God raises a banner. His love is there for you. Sometimes we want to look at everything else, but let's look to the banner. Let's look to His love. Let's look to Jesus Christ. So, Father, even as we stand here this morning, Lord, there may be many that are going through different struggles today. And, Father, sometimes those struggles, they seem like they're going to overwhelm us, Lord, and maybe seem like they're more than we can bear. But, Lord, we stand here today. We stand in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And, Lord, we stand under Your grace, the grace that is upon us, Lord, the fullness of Your grace. And Lord, we thank You that Your grace is sufficient for us. Lord, it's enough for us. Lord, we have what we need to get through. We have what we need to succeed. We have what we need to come through whatever trial, whatever difficulty that we have. And Lord, we thank You, Lord, that when we go through these things, Lord, You're there. Lord, Your love is there. Lord, You raise that banner. Lord, You cover us with Your love. And Father, help us. Help us to look to You, Lord, to surrender to You, to humble ourselves, and Lord, stop our own effort and our own self-reliance, our own stubbornness, our own pride, and say, Lord, Lord, I just surrender to You in this. So, Lord, I pray now, Lord, for anyone that is going through a hard time, even now, Lord, that they begin to access Your grace. Lord, as we lay aside and say, Lord, will I give up on my struggling? And Lord, I just allow You to work here, Lord. Allow Your power to begin to flow in my life. Thank You, Lord, that Your grace will sustain me. Thank You, Lord, that Your grace will enable us to come. And I will never be overwhelmed. And I'll never get to the point of turning away. I can persevere. I can come through because of the grace of God. I thank You for that promise, Lord, that You have, Lord. For whatever difficulties, whatever struggles that people may have this morning, Lord, I pray, Lord, let them access Your grace this day. Lord, let them know, Lord, that it is sufficient, Lord. It's all that is required, Lord, and that Your power is made perfect, Lord, the release of Your power. So, Father, I speak that release over every family, over every circumstance, Lord, over every person that has a struggle this day, Lord. We just know, Lord, that Your divine grace is there, Lord. It's more than enough. It's everything that we need, Lord. You're everything that we need. And so, Lord, I pray that You minister to every family, every person, every situation, in the name of Jesus Christ. We thank You for Your grace. We thank You, Lord, that Your grace is more than enough for us. Lord, that You're everything for us, Lord. And we honor You. And Lord, even as we sing, Lord, and just worship You again this morning, Lord, we just thank You for Your grace. And Lord, let us stand in the wonder and the awe of such a wonderful love, Lord, that will never cause us to be overwhelmed, never sees us abandoned, will never see us destroyed. But Lord, You sustain us. And we thank You, Lord, for that. Lord, let us draw upon that this day. I pray that in Jesus' name.